Hey, everybody, Brother Goodwin here. I want to read a verse to you in Revelation chapter 18, beginning in verse 1. After these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. Now, here's my text here, verse 2. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And I could go on and on here, the whole chapter. Does any nation come to your mind when you read that? Does America come to your mind? I'm not saying America is the Babylon of the end time. I'm thinking it could be. And I say in my books that I wrote a chapter on the mystery of Babylon. This is my opinion. I tell people, don't think of Babylon as a physical place so much as a philosophy and a system. And I think that will help you when you're looking at this stuff. Because Babylon in Iraq is a long ways away from being the world, the center of the world that we were reading about right here. But the system that they started in Babel, as Doc calls it, Babel, there's a system there that is here. And we're reading about it in this passage. We're going to talk to an interesting topic today. We're going to talk about comparing Judah and the fall of Judah with America today. And stand by. Hey, everybody, welcome to the program. We are a viewer-supported ministry. If you'd like to be a partner with this ministry, if you like what you see and like what you hear on our program, we need you to consider prayerfully becoming a partner with us, and financially, or at least pray for us. And you can write a check. You can call the 800 number. It pops up every few minutes on there. You can go to the website, Prophecy in the Spotlight, and there's donate buttons all over the place on there. And we have a lot of folks who partner with us, and it takes a lot of money to keep us on the air, and we appreciate every one of you. And so, Doc, this is an interesting topic. You and I may not agree on every little piece of what I said in the opening there, but this thing about America and where we're at right now compared to the fall of Judah. When you talk about the fall of Judah, you're talking about the Babylonian captivity, 600 BC, with Nebuchadnezzar coming down. I think what you told me on the phone was that that there's some similarities as to what condition Judah was in.
Yes,
when they were overtaken by a world empire.
That's right. And you just read, there is a time coming when, whether it's in America or wherever it may be located, the Babylonian system of the end time will be destroyed when that rock without hands cut out of the mountain comes to destroy it, the second coming of Christ.
And that's Daniel chapter 2.
Yes.
That's the statue, the head of gold, all the way down to the feet and the toes. When Christ comes to set up his kingdom, he doesn't build on top of that. He wipes that out.
None of that. He pretty well wipes out and makes the entire world all over again. Its topography completely changes, and then he sets up for the millennial reign. Yeah. But that'd be for another thought.
So you got a date for this, Doc? When's this going to happen?
That's going to happen. It's going to happen at the end of the tribulation. That's when it's going to happen.
2,520 days after the rapture.
That's right. Okay. Well, I don't know. Anyway, after it begins, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But Isaiah, the prophet, was warning and warning, and they pay no attention, kind of like today.
And he's 100 years before this.
Yes, and he's warning, and he's seeing the telltale signs. And in the fifth chapter, he brings out some things, and I brought out, there's eight of them here. And, man, I'm telling you, you look at them and you realize, was he writing about Judah or was he writing about the USA?
Wow. See, sin's the same no matter what country you're in, isn't
it? Yes.
Immorality is immorality here. It's immorality in France. It's immorality in Great Britain, Russia.
I told somebody the other day, I said, they were talking about the devil's tactics. And I said, well, you realize the devil really doesn't have a whole lot of tactics. Because the same ones played on the same flesh produces the same judgment. So he doesn't need any new ones. They may be a little refined or a little too, but it's still, when you sum it out, it's the same thing. Just like he started with Eve. Is it really what God said?
Yeah.
Get that question going.
Yeah.
And so, because he knows that no matter what part of humanity, doesn't matter the culture, the language, humanity stands before God the same way. So if he can get humanity in a sinful condition, it's going to bring God's judgment. He don't care. And this is where. But it's amazing when you look at some of these things that we see that, man, this is what's happening in our world. Especially as you pointed out, America truly, truly is the big toe of the world.
Yeah.
I mean, people, nations, what are they going to do with the greatest empire financially and militarily?
I think we said this in the update a while ago, but I've watched him on the world scene.
Yeah.
When he goes over to the 10, whatever they call all them.
G10.
The G10, mm-hmm. all these different. You watch him come out and someone's talking. He kind of just gets in front and just, he takes over.
Yep.
I don't think that's pride. I think that's who he is. I think he knows.
And they look up to him and whatever he has to say. And,
I guarantee if there was a giant meteor headed to the world that could destroy the world, and this ain't going to happen, but I'm just saying, the world would be looking for Trump to help us.
Yeah.
And he's that kind of a guy. I think he was born for this.
I'm convinced that he was. And so, but even with that, you know, the Bible talks about a haughty spirit and it goes before fall and pride and all of that. Yeah. So, but we by no means believe that Mr. Trump is the Antichrist.
No, not at all.
But I can see that he is putting together some of the maybe final pieces of the Antichrist kingdom.
Oh, he's setting the stage so that when he's off the scene, which could be pretty soon.
Yeah. Well, his leadership role is going to be another 3 years, and that's it, you know, and if we're still here and the trumpet hadn't sounded, he's setting some things in order, and what we're seeing that was the downfall of Judah, then I'm seeing these exact same things setting America up for a downfall.
So let's look at these. This is Isaiah chapter 5. Uh-huh. Verses 7 through 24 is what I see here. Well, mm-hmm. Actually, it goes further than that, all the way down to verse 31.
But
so let's look at these. Injustice and equality. Inequality and injustice. Yes. That's the first one. Yeah. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah is pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression. For righteousness, but behold, they cry. So God is looking down.
Yeah.
And he doesn't see justice.
He sees it. He says inequity. He looks down and he says, in our terminology today, you got a two-tier justice system.
Yeah.
You got a justice system for this one and a different one for over here. And not only that, but you're calling an injustice justice. And you're calling that which is right wrong.
People praying in front of an abortion clinic.
Yeah.
They've arrested them. They've thrown them in jail, some of them for years. That's not justice.
And this is not just an American problem. I mean, look at what's happened in Britain. I'm telling you, people who just, Even if they didn't post it, even if they put a like to somebody's post, they're sitting in jail today.
That's dangerous times, right?
Very dangerous times. Yeah. But it's because those in charge have determined what's right and what's wrong. My pastor, who's my son, last night had a wonderful statement, and he was talking about Mrs. Kirk and the fact that she said she would forgive whoever killed her husband. And he said, so some people are saying, is she asking the justice system to take capital punishment off the record? And he made this statement. He said, nothing, no matter who you are, can change the law. The law must be the law.
Yeah.
No matter how we feel about it, no matter how I want to change it, the law is the law, and you don't change it by how you feel.
Yeah.
But this is where we are today. What has been established as right and wrong, what the Bible calls right and wrong, it's been called the opposite in our world today.
Yeah.
And as a result, our justice system, it's deeply flawed.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with the justice system, nothing wrong with the law. But you have to have individuals who will, in equity, stand with that law.
What was that verse in, I think it's also in Isaiah. Truth has fallen in the streets. Justice is turned away back.
Yeah, and it's trampled. And that's exactly where we are.
The January 6th guys, some of them spent years.
Yes.
And some of them were there for years and weren't even charged yet.
Never even charged.
That's unbelievable that could happen in America.
But it goes on and on and on.
Well, let's hit another one, Doc.
The injustices that's out there.
Number two, this is down to our level here. Greed and selfishness.
Yes, it is.
Now, this is down where
Absolutely.
We live now.
Mm-hmm.
Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there is no place that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. That sounds like greed and selfishness.
It's where we live.
Yeah.
I was this morning at breakfast at a little restaurant, and a man sat in the table beside me, and he's 90, didn't look like it, and he'd been a coach for, I think he said, 69 years. But being in that field of service, you could tell in his conversation, his mind thinks along that more liberal stance. And he said something about it's not fair for them to take away $1 billion from whether it was Social Security or Medicare, whatever it was, you know, and all of this. And I said, where'd you get that? And, of course, he quoted whatever somebody said. And then I made the statement. I said, well, you do know that the entire world operates on greed. And he kind of looked at me like he really didn't understand what I was saying. But it does. I remember hearing Mr. Limbaugh before he deceased that he said the world operates on greed. And that's exactly what happens. And when you have a system that's set up to disadvantage some in order to advantage others, I'm here to tell you, God is not going to smile on that. I don't care how many politicians in their speeches with God bless America, God's looking down and said, I don't see anything I can bless. And we're in a selfish world.
Yeah.
Self-centered. It's not just the lost world either, Dan. That's the problem.
Oh, no, not at all.
It's in the Christian community.
Yeah.
It's sad.
Selfishness and greed. All right. Pleasure seekers. Pleasure seek. Now, I want the audience to realize these are talking about Judah.
Yes.
What you're saying is we are going down the same road.
It appears we're headed down the same path.
So Judah, they became pleasure seekers. And verse 12 talks about that.
Yeah.
And the harp, the viol, the tabret, the pipe, the wine are in their feast, but they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands, seeking pleasures more than seeking God.
Oh, yes.
And that's us.
Yeah. That is our world. I mean, it's the Lord's Day. Sunday's the Lord's Day. I know we probably have some that watch us think that the Sabbath day is the day, and we're not parting company with them over that. But I think Sunday is the Lord's Day.
Yeah.
And what do we have on the Lord's Day? Everything but something for the Lord. And I'm here to tell you, even the Christian community is being eaten alive by letting their children be involved in a sports program that puts them on a sports field on Sunday rather than a church on Sunday.
Yep.
And here we are. We are in a pleasure-seeking world. When the whistle blows on Friday, to tell you, it's all about pleasure for the majority of America until the blows on Monday to go to work.
If it feels good, do it.
Yes.
That's been a motto.
Yep.
We make our decisions on will it feel good? Will I enjoy this?
And of course, we justify ourselves with compromise. And I'm sick up to hear of all the compromise. And so they'll say, well, I know it's Sunday, but this is how these ball players make their living. And at least they got John 3:16 under their windshields. Wait a minute. Something's missing here. Our preachers have dropped the ball a long time ago.
And I say this all the time. The biggest problem with our country is the preachers.
Yes.
And the thing we need more than anything is preaching.
They can't afford to step on too many toes because they can't afford to lose the income to pay the bills of that new building they got.
Yeah.
And I'm not opposed to a new building, but you ought to be able to pay for it if you're going to build it. Amen.
Yeah.
But we're living in a pleasure-seeking world everywhere you look, and it has impacted the Christian community greatly.
So your fourth one here that you're saying that Judah was guilty was blasphemy.
And sacrilege. Yes.
And
he said that let him make speed and hasten his work that we may see it. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come that we may know it. In other words, this is what we're going to do. We want you to okay what we're going to do. We didn't go to you and ask you what should we do. Oh, no. We're asking you to bless what we are going to do. I'm telling you, yeah. This is where we are, Dan, in America.
Remember 9/11? Right after 9/11, they put signs out, God bless America.
Oh, yeah.
In the windows of the bars and the taverns where everybody gets drunk and fornicates and... God bless America while we're in here,
and
we're missing something.
And I'm thankful for what no doubt took place. I think probably at least some of the semblances of the gospel was presented in the proceedings at Mr. Kirk's memorial service.
I heard some of them. There was enough there.
There would have been enough that you could, I'm not sure that it requires having I know that no lost person can have a full understanding of what we call the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, in order for that to be more than just faith taking it and believing it. We didn't have that till we just had faith and believed it. Yeah. Now we have an understanding on this side of it. So I I'm thankful for that, but I'm here to tell you.
Who's drowning knows he's drowning, and he knows he needs the lifeguard.
Yeah.
And I think a person to be saved has to know that he's on the way to drowning, and reaching out for something.
But before you can be found, you got to know you're lost.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of like us men, we drive, and years ago you didn't have GPS and you didn't have all these abilities, and even if you had a road map, you didn't always know where you were.
Yeah.
And your wife would say, well, just stop and ask somebody, and you say, oh no, I think I know where I'm going.
Yeah.
You know, until you realize you're lost, or you see. But what I'm saying is, Dan, we've come to such a place where things of God has become so watered down, not only the watering down of the versions of the Bible, but everything about Christianity is being watered down, even in some of our what we would call fundamental churches, it's being watered down.
Well, why don't you summarize some of these, because we'll never get through them all. And I think on the other page,
some ways, some things you need to do to deal with it.
All right. So let's, why don't you summarize some of these so that we can.
Of course, there's in verse number 20, he says there's moral perversion and immorality.
Huh.
Is that not where we are today?
Yeah.
I mean, even I saw yesterday where a lifelong Democrat leftist mother was blown out of the water when her daughter came home from the fifth grade saying, "I hate Charlie Kirk." And she said, "Where in the world did you get that?" And it just dawned on her, what are they doing to my child?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, we're living in a world where the moral perversion and immorality is flaunted everywhere.
Yeah.
And nobody's saying anything about it. And then intellectual pride and arrogance. Boy, that's on display all the time in our leadership.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just bold-faced liars. They're caught in a lie, and they just double down on their lies. And then you've got the self-indulgent, intoxicated, not only just with liquor, but I'm thinking, Dan, that some of our society is not more intoxicated by technology than the drunkard is with his bottle of wine.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
I'm not opposed. I've got three different apps on my phone that's got the Bible, but they're all the King James Bible.
And we're not going to stop this, are we? We're headed down a steep hill in a train.
We are.
And there ain't no stopping this now.
But when I go to churches to speak, I've got to where I'm seeing all kinds of people pull out their phones.
Yeah.
They don't even carry a Bible to church.
Yeah, I'm not there yet.
I'm not there.
I like my paper Bible here.
I want to feel it and look at it. And so, then there's political corruption. In verse 23, he said, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. That kind of sounds like an auto pen work there.
Yeah.
That's what happened there. You know that.
And that's us today. I mean,
that's us.
That's America.
So America is, we are headed down that road. And, of course, the results of it, he talks about it in verses 25 through 30. And therefore, the Lord kindled anger against his people. There's going to come a time whenever God's going to say, that is it. And I don't know when it might come. It may not come before the rapture, but I guarantee you it's going to come at some time. We know it's going to come where you read it a while ago.
Yeah. At the end of the tribulation, this system,
the whole system is going to fall.
Yep. And they weep over it. They're not repenting about it. They're weeping.
They're not repenting over it. They're not sorrowful about it. And this is where we are today. All the things that we've just talked about, all these people that are guilty in all these areas, including some of us, we're not sorrowful about it.
Yeah.
It doesn't break our hearts anymore. And they have a response to God's warning. In verses 12, over in Isaiah chapter 22, you get a response. And in that day, the Lord God of hosts called to weeping and to mourning and to baldness and grinding with the sack, girding with the sackcloth. And in other words, God's calling to repentance.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful for hearing our voices only go as far as what little bit of the people that we have an opportunity to do. But there are some that have a much larger reach, and I appreciate that. And I'm glad to hear some of them trying to say, look, we need to call America back to repentance. We need to get right on these matters. But that voice is very limited, too, in our world today.
Yeah.
And they had become immorally rampant. In Jeremiah chapter 5, he talks about that. And then in Jeremiah chapter 5, he talks about the religious corruption. In other words, not only after they've had all these warnings and all these telltale signs, now all these years later, we come to Jeremiah, and it's only gotten worse. It's only gotten worse.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but that's what I'm seeing happen.
Right. This is Judah. These verses are talking about Judah, but they're also pointing to any nation that fits
these.
That's
right. I'm convinced.
And here
they
at
are.
The end of all things,
yes.
this sounds like America right
this
here.
This sounds like America. And one of the things he said in Jeremiah chapter 6 is, to whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach, and they have no delight in it. That not only applies to the secular world, that applies to a lot of people who call themselves Christian. Sad. Yeah. They've turned their ear off. It's kind of like I wear these hearing aids, and every once in a while they malfunction, and I can't hear.
Look at this other one you got here, Doc. Jeremiah 5, verse 3. Look what it says. I'll just read a part of it. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return.
Yep.
It says up above, it says, thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved.
Yep.
Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction.
That's right. And that's exactly what's happening in America and the world. I mean, if you cannot see, and I told a gentleman this morning, because I sensed his more liberal leanings than mine would have been. Some people call it progressive. But anyway, I said, let me show you a mark in the Bible. I said, anytime Israel was in sin, women rose to leadership.
Yeah.
And I said, one of the signs that America is in great problem, three of the most important cabinet positions in America. And I'm not saying they're not good ladies, and I'm not saying they're not doing a good job. But I'm telling you, it is a sign of God's judgment.
Hmm. That's powerful right there.
It is. And to think that we're in a position where we don't have qualified men to lead, and I'm not a male chauvinist. I'm just talking about how God set up the authority of the structure. And I'm telling you, it's always a sign of God's judgment. You read it through the history when they rise.
Man doesn't take his place.
That's right.
And so God, uses a woman. Or...
Yeah. And so they become stubborn and rebellious. And he said in Jeremiah 5, verse 23, but the people hath a revolting and rebellious heart that they revolt and are gone.
And we're out of time, Doc. These are pretty amazing things.
Yeah. Let me say, then he ends up by saying, and they don't blush.
They don't blush. They're not even ashamed of it.
Not even ashamed at it.
Yeah.
No.
And there needs to be sorrow. There needs to be conviction about this.
Yes.
I really believe, Doc, the only hope for America is revival.
Absolutely.
I don't think we're going to have a national revival. We could have some little pockets of it. And that's what we need. And we need preaching. We need preachers.
Absolutely.
And we need men and women who want the truth and want to get on their faces and beg God for his mercy. And but realize we're at the end of this thing.
Yes.
Here we are at the end of all things.
I'm determined to stay straight till I get there.
And me and my pastor used to always say, I just want to finish right.
Amen.
All right. Until next time, keep your eyes on them skies.